Y'all ready for this?
Indie Soul Rhythms is your home for global independent soul and R&B, featuring exclusive artist interviews, curated playlists, and deep connections from London to LA. Subscribe and join the rhythm.
All I can say is gee whiz.
Welcome everybody to Indie Soul Rhythms, where we celebrate the sound of independent soul, R&B, reggae, jazz, and anything independent. Today I'm joined by a man who turned the trombone into a voice of soul, jazz, and R&B. From North Philly to the world stage, he's performed with the likes of Jill Scott, Erykah Badu, The Roots, and so many more. Well, he's got a new album, The Cure, which is out now, and he's bringing that Philly soul to London Soul Mama on November the 26th. It's our pleasure to welcome Jeff Bradshaw.
Thank you for having me, good brother. Thank you for having me, man.
It's our pleasure to have you. And, you know, it's great having you on our show. And you've got such a rich story and legacy in this game. And your story starts in that North Philly church, dusty floors, brass band, and pure energy. How did those beginnings shape your sound?
Well, I mean, first of all, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here with you. I mean, you kind of said it. I started in church. I started in a church called United House of Prayer for All People, where gospel brass bands are the feature in the music ministry. And my father was a musician. He was also a youth pastor for many years. My father was a multi-instrumentalist, played trumpet, guitar, trombone, and tuba. And he just was so talented, could sing. And he raised me that way and brought me up in this amazing church where I was surrounded by other brass instruments, trombone, baritone horn, trumpet, saxophone, sousaphone, you know, and brass is what I knew. But I was raised up in this gospel household, you know, which most of the music in our house was gospel and a little R&B for my sisters. And my father was just a music head. So whatever he listened to, jazz or whatever, you know, it all, you know, he made sure that I listened to it too. And I think that's what shaped my sound. I'm self-taught. A lot of people don't know that I'm a self-taught musician, that, you know, I never learned to read music. What I have, God gave me in my mother's womb. And my father taught me how to play old gospel songs, old hymns on the trombone. So I never learned. Initially, I never learned the traditional way of playing trombone, playing the scales and all of that at the beginning. At the beginning, I was just mimicking the lyrics and words from old gospel hymns. And so that's why my sound sounds like I'm singing. That's why it's like an extension of my voice. You know, I sing with the trombone. I'm not hearing notes. You know, when I play songs, I'm literally playing the words. And that's what Jeff Bradshaw does. And it was a blessing to learn that way, because it gave me a voice through the trombone and it gave me a sound all my own.
That's really, really amazing. And you said you wanted to make the trombone hip. When did you first realize that it could speak soul and emotion like a singer's voice?
Well, my father was an amazing trombonist. But the way he taught me, I knew that, you know, outside of the church I was raised in, because it was a bunch of us that could play that way. But outside of the church, no one could make the instrument speak or sing like I do. I know that. I stand on that. And my music speaks for it. My live performances speak that. Like, nobody can make this instrument talk and sing like I do, because they didn't learn the way I learned. They weren't taught the way I learned. I realized, I guess when I first started playing around in Philly, that, wow, people aren't looking at this as a section instrument in a jazz horn section or in any kind of people. When I played it, people looked at it as a lead instrument, the same way they look at saxophone and guitar and sometimes trumpet. You know, it was my aspirations to, yes, make this instrument, which was already cool, because people like Fred Wesley and J.J. Johnson, Slide Hampton and Curtis Fuller and these great men, Wycliffe Gordon, Vincent Gardner, these great men had already played this instrument and it was already cool. But I knew it was cool because my father played it. You know, anything my father did, it had to be cool because he was the coolest man on the earth. But I wasn't really trying to make the trombone cool. I was just trying to make the trombone, I guess, more acceptable on the main in the mainstream eye as a lead instrument. And if that made it more hip and more cool, then so be it.
Absolutely. So, was there a moment when you first knew that this was your life's calling?
When I knew it was my life's calling, yes. The day I performed on the Tonight Show, the night I was a guest on the Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. You know the band, you know the Roots are the house band. I was there as an invited musical guest because my album, at the time, the Jeff Bradshaw and Friends Home, one special night at the Kimmel Center, my live album. I was touring and supporting my live album. And I was invited to come as a guest to perform on the Tonight Show. And when I walked into, the Rockefeller Center, and walked in that hallway, and I was wild, like the many people that have been on the Johnny Carson show and this one show and that, it was that moment for me. It was like, wow, I am on the Tonight Show. When I saw my name on the dressing room door with my picture, I was like, I'm not here to play in the band. I'm here as an invited musical special guest because of my hard work and God's love and favor. So I think that's when I knew, when I played the Tonight Show.
That's really amazing. And excuse me. So I was just thinking about the new album, because I've been listening to it for the last couple of weeks now, and it's on my playlist. So I'm just thinking, in terms of the album, I want to do sort of like a deep dive into that. So that title alone hits deep, the Cure. What inspired it?
It's really simple. The world is sick with a disease called hatred. It's so much hatred and despair in the world right now. And it's the world is sick, man. And it is in need of a cure. I believe that God's love through music is the cure. And that's what this album is. It is an album of healing music. I mean, when you listen to this album, you just feel better. After you listen to this album, when you listen to this music, you just feel better because it's full of healing music. It's full of love. You can and the title track, "The Cure," which features Jeff Cawthon, the sax player from Dave Matthews Band, which is a big deal because he just got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. To have him on the album is, and is a blessing. But this song, "The Cure," produced by Keith Phelps, it was the right song at the right time. It's a song that I've never recorded a song like that before. And but it healed me. I felt myself being healed as I listened to it, as I recorded it, and as I still listen to that song. The Cure is truly a healing song, and it is a beautiful song, and it is it's a beautiful album. I mean, each of these songs, man, stand on their own. It's an album of 10 songs. And even though I do have, Jeff Cawthon on the album and Damian Escobar and Dave Hollister and Anthony Hamilton and I have these great people, these great artists on this album. Each song stands on its own. There are no covers. It's all original music by amazing producers and writers that I collabed with. And I'm so very proud of this project.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned those musical giants like Anthony Hamilton, Dave Hollister. You also feature Lynn Rountree, Jeff Lorber. How did these collaborations come about?
You know, When you've been in this business as long as I've been, and this is almost 30 years for me in this business, touring for over 25 years, we're a family. We are a family. Jeff Lober is from Philadelphia. He's a jazz giant. Him and the president of the label, the distribution company, the distribution company that I'm signed to, SRG, and which is a division of Music Matters, which is I'm signed to Music Matters slash SRG for distribution. The president's name is Claude Villani. He's a great songwriter, guitarist. Him and Jeff Lober wrote this beautiful song for me, Sunday Morning, and another song that I wasn't, that challenged me because I wasn't used to playing a song so straightforward. I'm a soul baby. And if you listen to any of my music, my music has so much soul in it. And but this was a song that broadened my horizons. It's going to broaden the palette of the people. People that have a broader palette than soul music, it's going to speak to them, and it has. And Sunday Morning was written and produced by Claude Villani and Jeff Lober, and features Marco Terry from Snarky Puppy on guitar as well. So. It's a beautiful song, and I mean, just getting with these producers who are still all my family: Keith Peltzer, Isaac Phillips, Daniel Crawford. I got to work with on Groovy. I got to work with Andre Harris, who another Philly famed producer, Andre and Vidal, who gave us Jill Scott, and Music Soho Child. And gave us Butterflies with Michael Jackson, which I played on. Gave us Caught Up with Usher. I mean, there are five songs on the Confessions record. I mean, these are super giant producers, but they're all my brothers and all my friends, and they all lent their gift to me and produced some amazing songs on this album, The Cure.
That's amazing. And I love the fact that you mentioned that all these people, you are a family, and you work together, you collaborate. There isn't a sense of competition, a sense of, I'm the main man and everybody else got to follow me. I love that spirit. And I
Absolutely.
love the fact you've also mentioned the track Groovy, and I think it's probably the right time for us to play it for our listeners. So we're
Yeah.
going to take a short break and play that song, Groovy, by Mr. Jeff Bradshaw. After all your work with icons like Jill Scott and The Roots, how does The Cure reflect where you are now?
The Cure is The Cure, and all of my work, all of my albums are a reflection of the people that I have, a reflection of the people that I've worked with. I'm a sponge. So when I work with people, I think The Cure is a reflection of the tour that I just finished, and the cruise I went on and got creating this new relationship that I have with the great Dave Koz. I think The Cure is a direct reflection of his influence on me.
I love his music.
I think The Cure is a direct reflection on my influence, his influence on me. That's simple, sometimes simple, most times I think probably is, simple can be beautiful. And The Cure is a simple, beautiful song. And that is a direct a reflection of my time spent learning and on tour with Dave Koz.
That's beautiful. Now I'm just thinking about your creative process and your, probably your personal reflection on, how you came about with all the tracks and how you put everything together. Listening to the album, I hear that there's a real balance between jazz, finesse, and R&B soul. How do you find that sweet spot?
Well, I'm going to say the easy way, but when you work with the right people, they understand who you are and what your vision is. These guys I've worked with, these producers, they know who I am. They know who I am. They know Jeff the person, Jeff the son, Jeff the father. They know Jeff the musician, Jeff the artist. They know me. So when they send me tracks and they send me ideas, they already know what I love and what I like to do and how I like the music to feel. They understand my vision. And so that they understand that there needs to be balance. There needs to be a contemporary jazz slash neo soul hip hop balance to all of my music. And and so that makes it easier for me. And once they send me the music, the melodies come. The melodies, the lyrics, the words, the melodies. They come because they know how to, they know what I like and they know what feels right. They don't just send anything like, here's five songs, tell me what you think. No, they send me specific songs and specific ideas because they know me, the artist, they know my creativity, and they know what I like my records to feel like. So that's what makes it easy. It makes it easy working with people who understand your vision and know who you are as an artist and a performer.
Amazing. Having said that, was there any track that maybe challenged you, creatively?
The Cure was a tough one because a simple melody, can be hard sometimes. Finding the beauty in simplicity. I think Sunday Morning challenged me. The Cure challenged me. Specifically, Yellow Rose challenged me because I was so used to playing some super soulful melodies and these songs were simple. Like Yellow Rose is a simple song, but it's a beautiful song. It's very as I was recording it, I felt like it was Robert Glasper-esque. And Robert, who's a one of my one of my homies, has been on two of my albums, two of my singles, and a really good friend who's the executive producer of my live album. So I do have, I'm influenced by him as well, even though I play trombone. But Yellow Rose feels like, it feels like, even though it was produced by Daniel Crawford. Yellow Rose feels like it has like a Robert Glasper influence on it, you know, not on purpose. They just, when you're creating music and music is in the universe, you know, it just kind of felt that way. As I was recording, I was like, wow, this feels like Rob, you know, which is a great thing because Rob is a genius.
Yeah, agree. And do you see The Cure as a personal statement, a social one, or both?
I just think of it as God's love through music. It is an album of healing and loving music. And because our world that we live in is sick, the world definitely needs more God, more of the Creator, more God, more prayer. And this album is the cure. It is His love through music. It is the Creator's love. It was God's love through music. That's what it is. That's what it feels like. When you listen to this album, you do feel better. And I feel like you feel the presence of God when you hear this music. And it's not like super somber, like, you know, worship music and like a church. No, you know, I don't know why people limit God to anything. I just believe that I was inspired by the God that I love and serve to create all my music. And this album especially is an album of healing music. It is the cure.
And Nothing Else Matters,
Nothing else, man.
which leads us into that track, Nothing Else Matters, featuring Anthony Hamilton. So we're going to play that one for our listeners, and we'll be right back.
It matters much only when we touch. I never wanna rush when I am loving you. You make it possible, leaving my heart full. Like on a pedestal, I never wanna fall. Got on my knees, it's been
time just hanging down.
Only those who know
love wraps your soul,
never letting go.
You,
oh girl, you,
nothing ever matters.
Nothing ever matters.
coming to UK and other connections. So you're going to be performing at Soul Mama in London. The UK always shows love. What's special about performing here?
Oh man. Well, I've been here many times. From the Jazz Cafe, Shepherd's Bush Empire, Hammersmith Apollo. I've been all over the UK. Definitely been all over London with Jill Scott and Mary J. Blige and Jay-Z and Floetry, being a musical director for Floetry. I've been there so many times over the last 25 years. And this is special because Jeff Bradshaw is coming. I'm not coming with Floetry. I'm not coming with Jill Scott. I'm coming for the first time as myself, bringing what I do. And London ain't, London is never going to be the same. Never going to be the same. I mean, I'm just one of those trailblazing artists that is doing something that's never been done. But a trombone player who blends soul jazz and neo soul and hip hop together with some smooth jazz, and they're like, it's never been done. And trailblazing has a great responsibility, and I carry it on both shoulders. My shows are action packed and full of the music and energy, full of the music and energy of the people of shoulders that I stand on. Stevie, Donnie, Marvin, D'Angelo. I stand on the shoulders of these great people who I love, but with a trombone, speaking and singing with a trombone. London, I hope y'all ready.
London is
Hope the
ready.
UK is ready, man, because
The
it
UK
took me
is
22 years to get here. My first album came out in
ready.
2003. I've been trying to get to London, and I'm trying to get to the UK with my music since 2003. And our time is not God's time, but it's definitely my time. And
That's
I'm
right.
so excited. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait. Oh, I know I got some fans over there too. There's some people over there have been waiting for me to get over there. And I can't wait.
Now it's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. I can't wait either.
I can't
Your
wait,
shows are
man.
known for being experiences. And you said London don't know what they're going to, they just don't know. But what can you give us like a just a hint of what to expect?
For years, I've been called like the Gerald Levert of trombone, the Gerald Levert of trombone, the Gerald Levert of jazz. I've been given a bunch of names, but I'm just a soul jazz kid, a kid from the cane that grew up in church, who learned how to play old gospel hymns on the trombone, and then grew up in hip hop and gospel and R&B and soul music, and understanding that a live concert is an experience, should be an experience, like a universal experience between artists and audience. I bring the party. That's what I do.
Looking
That's
forward to
my
that.
job.
We are
That's my
looking forward
job,
to
is to
that.
bring high energy and bring the party. And that's what I do. And I cannot wait to get to London to share this gift with the UK.
It's a beautiful thing. So, beyond London, are there plans for more UK or European shows, or maybe a live recording?
I definitely go. I'm definitely going to definitely the UK, definitely London, definitely in Reading, and then we have definitely have plans. We'll see when we get over there. But I think the Europe is a wait and see kind of touring situation. It's like once you get over there and word gets out, it's all of a sudden while you're there, it's like, hey, we want to bring you back. We want you to go to Paris, Amsterdam, Warsaw, Poland, we want to go here, Germany, here, there. So I know how it works. I was with Jill when she first came over there for the first time. We came over, did Jazz Cafe, then did Manchester, went back home, and all of a sudden everybody in Europe wanted it. It's like, I understand, you got to come out there and show and prove. And I'm so been waiting for this opportunity. And like I said, our time is not God's time, but it's definitely my time.
Absolutely. We just don't know. So This leads me to this track featuring Keith Phelps, a track called You Don't Know.
Woo. Yeah, man. Song was originally recorded, produced for my friend Dwelle. I wanted this song for Dwelle.
Right.
And the times didn't work out. And Keith, who produced the song, did such a great job on the demo. I was like, you know what? I'm not touching this. We're going to leave it. We're going to leave you on there. Leave it just how it is. And I'm going to play on it. And that's going to be the record. And that's what we got.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. So I hope our listeners are going to enjoy this track. I love it. That's why I'm playing it tonight.
When I wake up, you're the first thing that's on my mind, and you take up more than just some of my time, because I can't help all the things I feel for you. I'm such a mess inside, oh girl, it's so true. When you walk in, my God, the way you light up a whole room, gorgeous figure, yes girl, with the perfect taste in perfume. Hearing your voice is the single best part of my day. And after saying all this, girl, it's a shame that you don't know, no. Can't even bring myself to tell you, you don't know, no. That I'm a little more than crazy about you. You don't know, no. Know that we could be so amazing. Guess it's all in my imagination. That's why you don't know. Sent those flowers last month, and had your favorite place delivered for lunch.
Guilty as charged.
Yes, I'm the one that writes those notes.
Anything to see that pretty face glow.
Now when we do speak,
my God,
I hang on every little detail, from every interest,
yes girl,
to your favorite place to shop retail. The courage rises,
oh my God,
and brings it to the tip of my tongue. And the moment passes and I'm just someone that you don't know, no.
Can't even bring myself to tell you,
you don't know, no.
It's all of my imagination. That's why you
don't know, no.
Can't even bring myself to tell you,
you don't know, no.
That I'm a little more than
girl,
crazy about
you. Don't know.
That we could be so amazing. This is all of my imagination.
Hey, that's why you don't know.
I'm just so attached to. I gotta have you.
You don't know
anything you could dream.
You don't know
exactly what we could be.
You don't
but
know.
Still,
you don't know. No, no.
It's driving me insane.
You don't know.
After saying all no, this, girl, it's a shame.
So we're going to move into, just before we wrap up, into some fun questions. Just lighthearted questions. We'll be looking at your, you know, reflection and mentorship. So you were part of the Philly sound that helped define Neo Soul's golden era. How do you see the next generation carrying that torch?
Okay. The next generation is very, their musical palette is very broad. They have the foundation of the soul movement, the younger guys now. They're old, you know, we're their old heads, we're their OGs. You know, the soul music, obviously, our OGs are you know, the TSOP, the Sound of Philadelphia, Teddy, the OJs, and Patty, and all the great Gamble and Huff, the great producers and writers that are the cornerstone of music in Philadelphia. We had that. So we are those guys to them, to the younger guys now. And their palette, they stretch their palette, man. Their musical palette is very broad. And I'm excited to see where it's going, you know, who's going to find success and where it's going to come from. What musical angle are they going to come from? It's a lot of jazz heads, a lot of young jazz heads, but they're all jazz and hip hop heads too. So I'm really excited to see who's going to break through in Philly out of this new young crop. I mean, you know, Jasmine Sullivan is no longer like the young girl who, you know, she's already won Album of the Year and obviously. So now we're looking for, I'm looking to see what this new young crop of broad-minded young lions is going to come forth with. Who's going to break through next? You know, I'm really excited to see it.
True, true. And you've also mentored so many young musicians. What's your advice for keeping real instruments alive in modern music? Because I think with AI now, there's some people now that are just producing music, you know, using AI. What's your advice for keeping real instruments alive in music?
Maybe AI is for people who want to, you know, cut through the chase and not work with producers and you know, be mimicked. And AI will never replace real. It's going to have its place. There's nothing we can do to stop it, you know. And all we can do is just keep producing and putting the time in and putting our heart and soul into real producing music. I'm not hating on anybody who uses AI.
Yeah.
Maybe you can't sing, but you can write. Like the new girl who just got the $3 million deal, you know. Maybe you can't sing, but you can write. If that's just going to be a part of our, one of the fabrics in our musical journey now, then that's what it's going to be. I'm never going to stop creating real music with real musicians, you know. And then, you know, that's all we can do, man. It's just create real music by real musicians. AI is going to have its place in music and everywhere else. We just have to not stop creating with real producers, with real musicians. We just can't stop that, or it will take over.
Sure. So when you look back from your early stages, when you started in church, etc., what are you most proud of?
That no matter what success I've been able to see, I always kept God first. That God was always on the forefront of all my successes and most of my decisions. I say most because you'd be like, man, I always, you know, when people say, oh man, I always pray first. And that's not true. We all make mistakes and you don't always pray about every decision you make.
Yeah.
But I try to make sure that every decision I make, I try to pray about it and consult God about it and meditate about it before I make major decisions. But I can say that my dedication to making sure that the world knows I am self-taught. I never learned to read music. Look what I've done. Look at my discography. Look at my record. Listen to my music. Look at my music catalog. It's all because I'm a blessed young man by the hand of God.
Amen to that.
That's what I'm most proud of.
Amen. Yeah, we're just going to finish off with some fun questions, as I said. So what's the first album you ever bought?
Set. Take Six. Take Six, first album. And second was the Yellow Jackets. Four Corners. First two cassettes I ever owned. Take Six and the Yellow Jackets.
Wow. Whatever happened to Take Six? Are they still around?
Still touring. I was just on the Dave Cox cruise with them. Right. They're on my live album.
Okay.
Yeah, they're on my live album.
Your live album?
I have a live album, yeah. It came out in 2015. It's called Jeff Bradshaw and Friends Home. It's called Jeff Bradshaw and Friends Home. Take Six, Najee, Will Downing, Tech Six, Najee, Will Downing, Trombone Shorty, Marsha Ambrosius, Bilal, Kim Burrell, Robert Glasper, Eric Robertson, Tweet.
Wow.
All in one live album.
And here I am thinking I've done a lot of research. How did I miss this one? I'm going to look for it.
Jeff Brashaw, I'll Friends Home. Look for it. That's the name of 2015. And it was executive produced by Robert Glasper.
Amazing. I know we've talked about the collaborations you've had on The Cure. But do you have any dream collaborations, living or not alive?
My bucket list was Prince, D'Angelo. They were on my bucket list. Missed both of those. But yes, I do have. I want to record with the Philadelphia Orchestra or with an orchestra. I want to hear my music played, and I want to be played back with, you know, back by an orchestra. Maybe a greatest hits album. I got six albums now. Maybe a concert of some of my favorite songs from all of my music, backed by an orchestra. Always wanted to do that. I've always wanted to collaborate with Jonathan Butler. I love Kurt Whalum. I want to collaborate with Jonathan Butler. I want to collaborate with Kurt Whalum. And man, it would be awesome to record with Stevie Wonder.
You're the second person in a space of 2 weeks who said to me they would like to collaborate with Jonathan Butler.
Yeah. I was just with him on the Dave Kaz cruise. Wow. The Dave Kaz cruise. We were just together, and I got to really sit with him and break bread with him and his wife. And
yeah.
What an awesome human being. He's just awesome. Him, Kurt Whalum. Him and Kurt Whalum, they're just awesome. They're just awesome human beings. They're just thoughtful and kind human beings. And so that, no wonder the music feels that way, because they're just amazing human beings. Dave Kaz, an awesome human being. Just a beautiful human, you know.
Amazing. And one word to describe The Cure.
Healing.
Philly cheesecake or London fish and chips?
Women. Philly cheese steak? Is that what you said?
Yeah, cheese steak. Oh,
Philly cheese steak.
If your trombone could talk, what would it say about you?
This guy really channels the Lord. This guy really blows the love of God through me. That's what my horn would say. This guy really loves God, really loves God, really wants people to be healed, really want people to be touched by his sound.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for taking time to chat to us. And we're looking forward to welcoming you to London less than 2 weeks now, I think.
Yeah.
Look forward to meeting you in person and,
absolutely,
you know, checking out you blowing that trombone like we've never seen before.
Yes, sir. I can't wait.
But before we let you go, we're going to ask you to do us a final honor of introducing this final track from your album. It's this one featuring Louis Sky and Lynn Rountree.
Oh.
Give yourself. Give yourself.
Yeah. This is an amazing song produced by Vidal Davis, who gave us so many great songs by Music Soul Child and Jill Scott and Ciara. This is Give Yourself, featuring soul jazz trumpeter Mr. Lynn Rountree and the amazing Louis Sky, by yours truly.
far stranded. My love will heal your scars like a bandit. Baby, just give yourself to me, and I won't let your love run away.
Subscribe and join the rhythm.
All I can say is G with.